Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy!
Well, Kingdom Culture, today we have a very special opportunity to host one of my good friends, an amazing, amazing leader who is both an American and a Canadian. He's a Canadian pastor, come from America, has an amazing, amazing church work out in Edmonton, Alberta, as well as Red Deer. He has two campuses, one in Edmonton, one in Red Deer, called the Summit Church, an amazing church. I've been there several times, ministered at his church, at the conferences there. They have an amazing culture of revival, an incredible culture of worship. Him and his wife, Pastor Chris and Nikki Mathis, who you're going to see and hear from Chris just in a few moments from now. His wife, Nikki, leads an amazing, amazing culture of worship out there called Summit Sounds. If you haven't heard their music, check it out on iTunes or Spotify, whatever place you find music. Their music will really bless you. I know it's blessed me so much. And so I'm so thankful to have my good friend, Pastor Chris Mathis, today share the word. He's a man's man, truly. He's a hunter. An incredible man of God, apostolic leader, doing amazing, amazing, groundbreaking work in the spirit, in the spiritual climate of Canada. So it's a privilege and honor. I don't think we've ever actually had him at Kingdom Culture before. So this is the first time. And so I want to encourage you, Kingdom Culture, open up your heart, open up your mind, open up your soul to receive something really strategic and powerful from this amazing man of God today. And so I'm encouraging you to take notes. And I believe this is a word for us moving into 2025. And so as we close 2024, I believe that what's going to come out of this message will be pivotal for the house, for the community here at Kingdom Culture, and will launch us into with a whole new wind in our step and strength as a community moving into 2025. God bless you. Open up your heart. Pastor Chris, so thankful to have you. Here he is.
Good morning, Kingdom Culture Church. Coming to you from Edmonton, Alberta. This is Pastor Chris Mathis. I'm so honored to be able to join you via online this morning. Your pastor, which is a dear friend of mine, Sean Gaby, had asked me to speak to you guys this morning, and it's an honor and a privilege for me able to do just that. I understand you guys have been in a Kingdom Culture, kind of a kingdom expression of a series, and I'm just so thankful that I get to bring value to that. We're just so grateful that there's a church like you guys in Canada that is just going for it, doing the stuff, like building the kingdom of God. And you guys are amazing. Your reputation precedes you. We hear constantly about the great reports that your church body is doing, even all the way out here, out in Western Canada. And so we're so thankful to be connected with you and partnered with you. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in the year 2025, next year. This morning, I want to talk to you out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 15. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 15. I want to read it to you. It says, "And he has appointed some with grace to be apostles, and some with grace to be prophets, and some with grace to be evangelists, and some with grace to be pastors, and some with grace to be teachers. And their calling is to nurture and prepare all the holy believers to do their own works of ministry. As they do this, they will enlarge and build up the body of Christ. These grace ministries will function until we all attain oneness into the faith, until we all experience the fullness of what it means to know the Son of God. And finally, we become one into a perfect man with the full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed into the abundance of Christ." It goes on to say, "And then our immaturity will end, and we will not be easily shaken by trouble, nor led astray by novel teachings or by false doctrines of deceivers who teach clever lies. But instead, we will remain strong and always sincere in our love as we express the truth All our direction and ministries will flow from Christ and lead us deeper into Him, the anointed head of His body, the church. You know, what's been on my heart, not just for you guys this morning, but really been, it's been a fresh word in my heart, is really, what does the kingdom look like pertaining to fivefold leadership? You know, I think a lot, oftentimes in North America, we're very familiar with church leadership or church structure, but so many times we can build churches, but forget that the building that we're supposed to be doing is the building of the kingdom. Sure, the church has a place in that, but we see that over the course of history, really, we've seen the church slowly traject into a way that is really not biblical according to the ancient path. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that this morning. I know that's kind of a big statement and a lot. I want to give you really what I mean by that. First, I want to read you some statistics, and these are statistics that were taken by the New York Times, and it's an older article that these statistics come from. It's a little over 10 years old, but I think it's probably safe to say that these statistics have even grown greater in number. And just take a listen to some of these statistics. They're actually astounding. 13% of active pastors are divorced. 23% have been fired or pressured to resign at least once in their ministries. 25% don't know where to turn when they have a family or personal conflict or issue. 25% of pastors' wives see their husband's work schedule as a source of conflict. 25% of pastors' wives would leave the ministry if they could. 33% felt burned out within their first 5 years of ministry. 33% of pastors say that being in ministry is an outright hazard to their family. 40% of pastors and 47% of their spouses are suffering from burnout, frantic schedules, and/or unrealistic expectation. 45% of pastors' wives say the greatest danger to them and their family is physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual burnout. Though I can find no specific statistics, I'm sure they're out there, the pastorate is seeing a significant rise in the number of female pastors. 45% of pastors say that they've experienced depression or burnout to the extent that they needed to take a leave of absence from the ministry. 50% of pastors feel unable to meet the needs of the job. 52% of pastors say that their spouses believe that being in pastoral ministry is dangerous to their health. 56% of pastors' wives say that they have no close friends. 57% would leave the pastorate if they had somewhere else to go or some other vocation that they could do. 70% of pastors have no close friends. 75% report severe stress causing anguish, worry, bewilderment, anger, depression, fear, and alienation. 80% of pastors say they have insufficient time with their family. 80% of pastors believe that the pastoral ministry affects their family negatively. 90% feel unqualified or poorly prepared for the ministry. 90% work more than 50 hours a week. 94% feel under pressure to have a perfect family in the eyes of the people that they lead. 1,500 pastors leave their ministries each month due to burnout, conflict, and moral failure. Now, I know you may be thinking to yourself, that's not very encouraging, Pastor Chris. And although these statistics are not when you read them, I think that there's a deeper issue that I want to dive into and take a look at as we're talking about building the kingdom in this kingdom series. Knowing these statistics, we need to pray, lift up, and support and honor the role of pastors and leaders, and trust that they will not be a part of these staggering statistics. But again, I think these statistics communicate to me something that's a deeper issue. And here's the deeper issue that I think we see. The deeper issue is the lack of biblical leadership function in the church. Let me say it this way. It's the lack of kingdom leadership functioning who God has called them to be within the local church. For example, in North America, we really aren't familiar with the function of the apostle gift or the prophet gift, for the most part, overall. I know that there's certain churches like yours that these terminologies are a little bit more present and communicated. And it's important that they are, because language communicates culture. But for the most part, most churches in North America, they're not familiar with the function of the apostle. They're not familiar with the function of the prophet. Instead, all that we've settled for is the function of the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. And have missed 2 out of the 5, which are major gifts to the church. They're major gifts to the church. Apostles are builders. They are sent ones into a region or territory. They break open wells of revival. They release refreshing to the people of God. They break demonic strongholds that are over cities and regions. Apostles build fresh wineskins that hold the new wine of the Spirit. They create environments and atmospheres where the presence of God leads and dominates communities and cultures. Prophets, as well, are carriers of God's heart. They communicate fresh revelation, direction, and strategy from the Lord. They can see into the spirit realm and discern what spirit and even motive is at work within a people and a body. They know how to bring breakthrough and keep the body on a plumb line. Walk in the fear of the Lord. They value the fear of the Lord over the fear of man, and it radiates through their teaching. How many of you know we need those gifts restored to Canada? We need the gift of the apostle and the prophet, because in kingdom leadership, these are foundational gifts that we see biblically. North American churches, on the most part, aren't led by apostles or prophets, as the body at large has, quite honestly, even rejected their leadership. And I've often asked myself, why is that? Why is it that churches are so okay, comfortable with the gift of the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, but the apostle and prophet kind of scares people, to be quite honest with you? And I think that is a result of them really not understanding. I'll take it a step further. It's a result of most people trying to just really build a church instead of extending and advancing the kingdom in the earth. I know you guys don't just want to build a church in Ottawa. You guys are wanting to extend the kingdom of God. And sure, there's a local expression, but beyond that local expression is leaders that have a heartbeat, a pulse in their heart that wants to see God not just touch Kingdom Culture Church, but the city of Ottawa. You want to see it touch your province and ultimately your nation, the nations of the earth. That, friend, takes kingdom understanding, and it takes embracing the way the Bible identifies the function of its leadership. I think when we see the restoration of apostles and prophets in Canada, you're going to see these statistics begin to shift. Again, these statistics that I read you, I think, are a part of a much, much deeper problem. And I think that problem is, in Western churches, we want what makes us comfortable. We love comfort. We want what makes us comfortable. Not just in the church, but everywhere. You see this in our homes. We buy our furniture that makes us comfortable. We buy beds and spend money on mattresses for comfort. We buy cars for luxury and comfort. We're looking, as a society of people, for comfort in every area of our life. But how many of you know God doesn't want us just comfortable? He wants us equipped for purpose, for destiny, to accomplish the kingdom task that He's given us in this life. We want what makes us comfortable. Therefore, we've embraced 3 out of the 5 fivefold gifts, and we've rejected, tolerated, at best, labeled and identified, but not really embraced the other two. See, the pastor gift is primarily to nurture and love. They heal and protect hearts. How many of you know pastors are needed? This message this morning is not to exclude pastors, evangelists, and teachers. It's actually to say, no, we've embraced those three very well, but we also need to elevate the apostles and prophets and identify them in our churches so that we have a healthy kingdom expression of what God is wanting to build. But pastors, they primarily nurture, they love, They love to heal. They're protectors of hearts. Teachers, we need teachers. They inform and educate. Teachers bring deeper revelation of the scriptures. Teachers value the integrity of the Word of God being taught with correct theology. We need that in our kingdom communities. And evangelists, they win the lost at any cost. They win the lost at any cost. They create strategy and systems that draw in the lost, and they burn to see the masses saved. That's a great gift, and we love that gift, and we want that gift. But I want to just really identify today, why is it that we have rejected the apostle and prophet in the church in Canada and also North America? Why do we call the majority of church leaders pastors? Again, I mentioned to you that language creates culture. What you say is important because that creates culture. How you're identified is important because that expresses the culture of the heartbeat of who you are as a people. You know, when I look at the scripture and I open this up and I read the Bible, pastor is actually only mentioned one time in the entire New Testament. One time. And it's actually in the passage of scripture that we just read in Ephesians chapter 4. That is the only time that word pastor is ever mentioned in the entire New Testament. But if that's the case, how come we identify every church leader that leads a congregation as pastor, forcing them into a box that limits the kingdom expression from flowing out of them? While the word apostle is actually mentioned 79 times in the New Testament. You see apostles mentioned 79 times, pastor mentioned once. Where have we missed it in North America? Again, I just am of the belief that we want comfort over equipping, but I'm thankful for a church in Ottawa, you guys, that aren't just going to settle with 3 out of the 5 gifts. You guys in this day are expressing not just apostolic ministry, but prophetic ministry. And I want to take some time to really identify what this looks like and how it looks when it's all functioning together in a kingdom expression. It's beautiful. It's healthy. It is causing you to grow. It causes the attraction of the world to look at what you're doing that is so outside of the box of just normal church Christianity. It has life attached to it. It has freedom attached to it. And I want to show you what that looks like. Again, the pastoral led is the current paradigm that we are mostly familiar with in the West. And again, what I don't want to do is discredit the pastor gift, because we need pastors and we need healthy pastors in Canada. But when I say pastor, what I don't want your mind to do this morning is to navigate when I say that word as just someone that leads a congregation. Why do I say that? Because there are all sorts of gifts that are in my seat and in your leader, his seat, Sean Gaby's seat, that may not function as a pastor gift, although they lead a congregation. And that needs to be accepted and okay and celebrated. I've got a good friend of mine. His name is Matty Montgomery. He leads a great church in Johnson City, Tennessee. And I'm so thankful that he has embraced his real gift, his grace gift by the Lord. It doesn't try to fit into that box. You know, they call him pastor at his church traditionally, but he's the farthest thing from a pastor, in my opinion, when it comes to the grace gift function. He's really an evangelist, and he leads his church with an evangelistic expression. I know many prophets that they're not pastors, but they lead their church with a prophetic expression. There are many apostles that lead congregations that are not pastoral. They lead with an apostolic expression. And what's important is we have to realize who we are, what we are, and embrace that, and then also fill in the gaps of what we're not. It's so important in a kingdom community to do this. See, in a pastoral, led paradigm, some of the focal points or things that are they burn for are completely different than the things that apostolic and prophetic leaders burn for. For example, pastors think this way. They just want to gather and congregate. They want to gather and congregate, and there's nothing wrong with gathering and congregating. You're doing it every week. We do it every week. Gather and congregate. But the apostolic way of thinking, the prophetic way of thinking is, I don't want to just gather and congregate. I want to equip my people and send them and release them. Send them and release them. The pastoral paradigm, they're constantly thinking about feeding the sheep. Feeding the sheep, which is good. How many of you know we need to be fed the word of God? But the pastoral ministry of feeding the sheep is not where you stop. We need to do what apostles do, and they think this way. They want to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, not just feed them. I had many people over the years that have come and gone throughout the course of our ministry, and one of the common things that we've heard in our early years quite a bit is, you know, when people transition, they'll say things like this, like, "Pastor, I'm not getting fed here anymore. I'm not getting fed here anymore." And usually my response to that anymore is, well, if you're not getting fed, that means you haven't grown up. I've got three teenagers, and there's not one morning that I wake up and spoon feed them anymore. No, they feed themselves. There has to be a point that we grow to maturity and we begin to feed ourselves the Word of God so that when we show up on Sunday morning and God is using your leader so strong to preach and minister to you, that you're saying, "Oh, I've been feasting on the Word all week," and you're saying the same things that God has been saying to me. That's where we grow to maturity. And that's the difference. Pastors think feed, which is important for infants. Apostles and prophets think equip. I want to equip you, not just feed you. Pastors, they want to protect. Apostolic prophetic leaders, they're okay with risk. Pastors tend to have this default, is they have a mine mentality. Like, all the people are mine, my sheep. They hesitate to allow even people they lead to experience and drink from other wells and other resources in the body of Christ. And it's from a pure heart. They want to protect the sheep, and they have a mind mentality that in their heart of hearts, they're good people. They don't want false doctrine being brought to them. They might not want them hearing from a sheep in wolf's clothing or whatever the case may be. But an apostolic prophetic kingdom understanding says this. It's not a my mentality. The people belong to God. It's my job to equip them to hear the Lord for themselves. Pastors have a sheep-minded mentality, where apostles and prophets, they have a mission-minded mentality. Pastors have growth goals, while apostles and prophets, they focus on the kingdom cause. Pastors are always looking for happy sheep. Apostles and prophets, they're about purpose first. Pastors and their pastorally led congregations oftentimes, I find, lack discipline and responsibility, where apostolic and prophetic leaders are a very highly disciplined thinking culture, highly disciplined. Years ago, I pastored in the panhandle of Florida. My wife and I pastored a church down there for 11 years, and it was in a very military base culture. There was five military bases in our area, and with that, it brought in a lot of active duty military servicemen to our church. And I found as a leader the distinct difference between someone that was in the military compared to someone that was just a civilian, and the difference was the discipline. You could tell the distinct difference being around the two groups of people in just a matter of minutes. Just the mindset of these military guys and gals was much more focused. They knew how to take orders. They knew how to serve with excellence, where, you know, a civilian may look at it as just kind of a choice if I want to. And it was kind of a good paradigm shift for me to see the difference of a military culture compared to a civilian culture, and the vast contrast, and even how that compares to the kingdom. And, you know, obviously in the church, we're not a militant culture. We're not walking around barking orders at the people we lead. But the military mindset of people that have served in active duty, they just understand there's a bigger picture other than myself and other than my needs being met. There's an overall mission that we're a part of that I'm going to have to sacrifice some of my time, some of my energy. And you could just see that highly disciplined. And I often have thought about that in times where I've taught on apostolic prophetic teaching, where apostles and prophets think the same way, highly disciplined, focused on the mission. pastors oftentimes suggest, while apostles and prophets, they kind of have more of a command, like this is the order of the Lord. Pastors focus on healthy sheep, while apostles and prophets focus on the mission of the kingdom. Pastors are looking to build the congregation, while apostles and prophets are looking to extend the kingdom of God. Now, you hear those two vast differences in the gifts, and one is not right and one is wrong. They're both right. However, the foundation has to be apostles and prophets. We don't abandon the pastor side. We have to combine the two. We have to combine the two together so that we can function as a healthy body that is doing kingdom work. At the same time, you can have an apostolic prophetic leader in a congregation without the presence of pastors, teachers, or evangelists, and you can have also a very dysfunctional culture. And I've seen this. I'm reminded of years ago, I was preaching in Germany at a church that was the largest English-speaking church in that region. And the pastor was, the guy that led the church, he was an apostle to the core, and he had no pastoral presence in his congregation. Zero. So what was lacking was counseling. What was lacking was people that were being nurtured, people that were being tended to, taken care of. Now, what you did see present was a highly focused, highly organized, very mission-minded, very much show up on time, leave late kind of mentality that all the leaders were expected to do. And I could see in that culture that, man, they're very, very excellent in so many areas, but they're lacking the other part of the fivefold, which is causing them to miss the expression of the kingdom, because it's all kingdom. It's all kingdom. So we don't abandon one side and just embrace the other. We have to embrace the fullness of the fivefold, the fullness of the fivefold. And again, one of the things that I'm passionate about in this day and time is giving leaders permission to lead the way God has mantled you. Lead the way God has anointed you. For me, I know more what I'm not than probably what I am at times. I know for me in my culture, my community, I'm not the best counselor, so I bring other pastors around me to help our kingdom community function in a healthy way. There's things that I'm good at, apostolic thinking, strategy, vision, goals. Those things I am good at, and I know that about myself. I'm self-aware where I can empower people around me, but I know that if it was just my leadership style, it would be very dysfunctional. At the same time, if I was just pastoral, it would also be missing some key components. I want to give leaders permission to be who you are. Not only permission to be who you are, but you have to give the permission to those that are leading you permission to be who they are. You know, you have a great leader in your church body. He is a prophetic gift. He is an apostolic gift, not just to you guys, but to this nation. And one of the greatest things that you can do for your kingdom community moving forward is blessing your leader to be who God's called him to be. Letting the expression of kingdom culture in your church body begin to thrive by your leader functioning in the high-level prophet that he is. I can imagine your church in the days to come sending out churches, planting churches, sending out leaders all over the world, hosting events, hosting gatherings, tapping into the realm of the Spirit over this nation of Canada, declaring things that open up windows and open up breakthrough for not just your church and your region, but other regions. And that's the leader that you serve. That's the kind of leader Sean is. But we've got to give him permission, full permission, and at the same time, recognizing where we're lacking in this community. Okay, if we're building a kingdom expression, maybe you need to add more pastors. Maybe you need to add more evangelists in this season, and trying to pinpoint and identify what that looks like. So get the mindset out of you that to lead a congregation, you have to be a pastor. And it's not so much about terminology as it is about function. I'm sure Prophet Sean there could care less if you called him Prophet Sean, Pastor Sean, Bishop Sean. He could probably care less what you call him. But the function of what's on his life has to be demonstrated and expressed and celebrated. Also for all the other leaders there in that community, it's not so much what you call each other as much as it is given the permission to function in what God has placed on your life. As I mentioned, my friend Pastor Matty Montgomery, who's an evangelist at a great church in Tennessee, he is an evangelist to the core, and so his church knows that. They give him permission to be that, and their church is a soul-winning church because he's a soul-winning leader. I'll never forget a time that I got on an airplane with my wife, and Matty Montgomery was on the same airplane. He came walking in, and before he even said hello to me, the first thing he says when he gets on the plane is, "Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Matty Montgomery. I'm going to be sitting right here in seat 5A. If anybody wants to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, if you want healing in your body, come find me. I'll be right here." My gift and my nature is not to do that. To be quite honest with you, when I'm on an airplane, I want my earbuds in. I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to focus on the destination that I'm going to, the assignment that I have before me, and I want to give my heart time and energy to that. But that's the key difference between distinct gifts. And I know that God is raising up you guys for a purpose in this time and season. And I love the heartbeat of the house that says, I want to be a kingdom church. We're going to teach on the kingdom so that we don't just build a church culture, but a real, legitimate kingdom culture and expression in this nation. In order to do that, you have to embrace the fivefold ministry among you. 13 points that I want to give you real quick of what we've become through using just the pastoral model, which is so traditional here in the nation of Canada, but also the West. 13 points of what we've become through using this one model. Number one, we have become narcissistic. We've become narcissistic. If you're not familiar with the word narcissist or narcissistic, the word comes from an ancient Greek individual who he was so enamored with himself, legend goes. His name was Narcissus. He was so enamored with himself that legend says that he died at himself staring at himself in the mirror. Hence the term narcissistic or narcissism. It's basically selfishness on steroids. We have become narcissistic because we built communities that are all about meeting the needs of the people. Churches, for the most part, aren't really mission-minded. They're actually consumer-minded. For the most people in North America, they don't choose a church by what God says or God has asked them to be there. It's based on convenience. Is the service time at the length of time that I like? Do they play the songs that I like? Is the teaching going to be good for me and good for my soul? Is the children's ministry going to be perfect in all of its ways? Is the parking lot going to have room in it? And there's all these reasons why we go to a church, and I just think that's such a Babylonian system. It's a narcissistic system, and we've got to get out of this narcissistic, consumer-driven mythology of why we attend a church. We've become narcissists because we're led by the pastor gift only, and it's not his fault. The pastor gift caters to these things, which we also need in our church. However, we have to have apostolic leaders that work with them that say it's not just all about the health of the people. Healthy people are important, but it's about the mission of the kingdom and the kingdom of God advancing in the earth. See, what pastors will do with people is when they get wounded, hurt, stabbed in the back, they need a pastor in their life. They need somebody that can sit down and counsel with them, pray with them, encourage them, talk to them, heal their wounds, help them walk through maybe some ministry time of soul care. That's so important. But if we're not careful and the pastor gift is the only one leading, the pastor gift likes to keep them there too long, where the apostle gift says, no, you've had them too long. They're healed now. Give them back to me. I've got a kingdom purpose that the Lord wants to use them for. Number two, we've become all about me and all about my part and not the big picture of the kingdom. The pastor gift has produced this in people and not the big picture of the kingdom, where we've made it all about me. Well, let me say it this way. We've made it all about personal destiny. personal destiny is important. Every person listening to me this morning, you have a personal destiny. But that personal destiny is so intertwined with the greater body and the mission and extension of the kingdom of God. Number three, this has produced independent and competitive mindsets where congregations now are competing with one another. We're so jealous of somebody else's successes. You know, I don't even like to use the term Summit Church or Kingdom Culture Church. I like to use the term congregation because, you know, in Ottawa, there's really one church. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, that church is broken up into many different expressions, and as they said in the New Testament, in the early church, it was broken up into different houses. But it was one church in a city. It was the Church of Ephesus. It was the Church of Colossae. It was the Church of Thessalonica. It was one church in that city. Now, maybe it had different expressions, but at the end of the day, it was all one church. So the outlook that's kingdom says this: when a congregation down the street gets blessed with maybe $1 million or a brand new facility, guess what? That's a win for the kingdom of God. That's something we should celebrate, not get competitive over. But when pastors lead, and only pastors lead, that can tend to be the mindset because we're hungry for people. We want people to come and gather. We want people to congregate. We want as many people as we can come and gather and congregate. But that's not the big picture at the end of the day. This led us to misdefining success. Number four, success has become in North America, how big can we get and how fast can we get there? Friend, that's not always kingdom. How big can we get and how fast can we get there? We need to define success by what I call the kingdom rule, which is not how many people we can gather, but again, how many people we can send. That marks the success of a kingdom church. Number five, the mission became all about meeting the needs of the sheep. Meeting the needs of the sheep. And, you know, what we're building is not meant to just meet the needs of the people. Yes, it'll do that. We've done that here at Edmonton. We have given away hundreds of thousands of dollars. We do that every year. And we meet many, many needs of people. The need is ever-ending. But that's not why we exist. We exist first to glorify God. We exist to make His presence famous. We exist to gather around the presence of the Lord to honor, exalt, worship, and lift His name high. And out of that, He begins imparting and empowering, and things are happening. And yes, resources are available to meet needs, and all those things are important, but they're not primary. They're actually secondary. Number six, we've developed a consumer-oriented customer approach towards sheep. This has led to a welfare church. A welfare church says this: someone take care of me. This is why we've seen people in North America can spend 50 years in a church and never grow. Friend, in a kingdom church, there's no choice. You're in such a ripe environment of fivefold leaders, the rich presence of God that puts a demand on growth. Reminded of the story where Jesus walked by the fig tree and the fig tree didn't have any figs on it. Jesus cursed it. The next day when him and his disciples walked back by that fig tree, they saw that it was all withered up and dead. I've often thought about that because when you do your research and you find that fig tree, it was actually out of season. It was not even supposed to produce figs in that season, but Jesus still cursed it. He still cursed a tree that did not have figs, even though the figs were not even supposed to be on the tree. And I think there's a principle here. The principle is this: it should be absolutely impossible when you're in the presence of God to not bear supernatural fruit. See, that fig tree was in the presence of Jesus, and there should have been something in the life source of that tree that naturally manifested fruit. And that's the same when you're a part of a kingdom culture, when you're a part of a kingdom church. You will grow naturally. You're going to grow because the presence of the Lord is there, and it's going to be automatic. It's going to be natural. It's going to be second nature. Number seven, we have altered the message and made it about people's happiness. Apostles and prophets, their first concern isn't happiness. Their first concern is really saying what the Lord says, pleasing the Lord, making sure that they're not offensive to the Holy Spirit. At the end of the day, they think like this: I'm going home with the Holy Spirit in my vehicle, not the people of God. I need to make sure he's pleased over the people. Sure, people's feelings matter. Absolutely. This does not give leaders room to be jerks. And I know that when you hear this message taken out of context, you know, you can think that, oh, this is just apostles, or just these guys that walk around and boss and bark orders. That's not what this is. They actually should be the lowest. They should be the ones serving the greatest. Number eight, we have a my rights and entitlement mentality. With this mentality, we have exalted sheep above the shepherd. Now, when I say shepherd, I'm not talking about the church leader. I'm talking about the shepherd. And we've exalted the needs of the sheep over the opinion and the purpose of the shepherd. Number nine, all of the above has reshaped and restructured our gatherings. For example, there's many pastoral-minded leaders that, again, are good people, ordained by God, called by God, but when they're thinking, a pastoral way of thinking is leading a community, it reshapes and restructures our gatherings. We tend to get tempted with things like this: I don't want to go long because I don't want to offend anybody. Or maybe someone's new here and they don't understand the life of the Spirit, so I want to tame things down a little bit. And what we're doing in that moment is we're letting a pastoral way of thinking, which is protecting hearts, 100%, very important. But an apostolic prophetic approach is, my life is so yielded to the Spirit of the Lord, and we want to see the Spirit of God break in and break open hearts, reach into dark places and pull people out, bring them into marvelous light. And so their way they structure and shape their gatherings is not so much about what people think or want. It's about what Holy Spirit wants. And so maybe you're there at Kingdom Culture, or maybe you're new. Maybe you're thinking, man, I don't know about all this. Like, I just started coming to this church, and it's great, and I love it. It's alive, and I'm seeing, you know, all of these things happen, and it's nothing like I've ever experienced before. Yes, that's because you're a part of a Kingdom Culture church. You're a part of a kingdom expression in the earth that isn't just wanting to cater to the needs of the people. Primarily, it's wanting God first. You're wanting the presence of God to come in, shape your gatherings so that there can be a mentality that says this: anything is possible in the environment that we worship in. It should be abnormal that people come in and leave sick. That's not the case for you guys. You guys are going to see more healings in 2025 than you've ever seen before. You're going to watch people's lives come into your gatherings, and the presence of God is going to be so ripe and so rich. You're going to watch people get delivered of depression instantaneously. You're going to watch people delivered of suicidal thoughts. You're going to watch people step into the joy of the Lord in ways they never have been able to before because of the environment that you're cultivating through a fivefold function of leaders. Number 10, all of the above has helped the enemy exalt the pastor gift above the others. We've exalted the pastor gift above the others. Again, let me just reference. Pastors mentioned one time in the entire New Testament. Apostles mentioned 79 times. But now it's so much more common to identify a leader as a pastor than an apostle. Why? Because we've exalted that gift. And the reason, again, we've exalted that gift is because the pastor, by nature, nurtures and feeds. We want someone to take care of us. Number 11, we have defined all leadership roles around the sheep to meet their needs. Number 12, this has produced flocks, not an army. Fellowships, not a government, and congregations, not a congress. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 16 when Jesus told Peter that he's given him the keys to the kingdom, and he's using the revelation of who Jesus is to build his church. When Jesus said that to Peter, to the disciples that were there present, in their mind, they didn't think to themselves, okay, he wants us to build a church. Let's go find a building and lease it, meet together on Sundays, sing a few songs, hear a good inspirational message, and that'll be a church. That paradigm was nowhere in their thinking. They understood that word church was the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia meaning a legislative body that was meant to govern, meant to pass and enforce laws. Elders at the gate of the city, the ekklesia, would do this in that day, and they would legislate. And this is what we do when we gather. This is what you do when you gather. When you show up to Kingdom Culture on Sunday mornings, you're not just there to sing songs to the Lord. Yes, that happens, and yes, that's glorious, but you're there to congregate and also release as a congress. Like, you're releasing justice in the Spirit. You're releasing things in the Spirit realm over your city. You're releasing blessing and breakthrough as you come together and pray and decree and declare. These are the things that are happening. Number 13, we have shifted from dominion to survival, occupation to existence, and from confrontation to conformity. We would not have these stats or be in this place that I just read, I believe, again, when we see real fivefold leaders in their primary function. My whole goal today to add value to what you guys are building in your kingdom series, your kingdom message series, but also into Kingdom Culture Church, is to allow these gifts to begin to emerge. I can't say it enough. Let your leader be who he's called to be. He's a prophet, not just to this nation, but to the nations. And that expression is going to be there. Apostolic voices that will be coming in. Your leader is also very, very apostolic as a church planter, as a builder, someone that's creating a new model, a new wineskin. And all of the leaders there present, you guys helping bring value and adding to that is so important. My prayer for you is that you would identify and find in this next season who the evangelists are among you, who the pastors are, who the teachers are. And as these leaders emerge and these leaders begin to grow, you guys are going to see a kingdom expression that is restoring these ancient biblical principles that Jesus left us with of how his church should look. We're not just a place that gathers and has a good time. You guys are a place that is legitimately doing business in the spirit realm and seeing God touch not just your city, but the cities of the world. My prayer for you today is that God would allow your heart to lean in, really lean into what he's saying in 2025. There are big things coming for you guys. I see a building in your future. I know that this is something that you've been believing God for. There will be a building, and that building will be a place where heaven can touch earth. It'll be a place where people get radically delivered, radically saved, radically touched. And out of that expression, this fivefold kingdom expression that God is raising up within Kingdom Culture, you're going to see a historic move of the Spirit right out of Ottawa. I believe it with everything in my heart. God has put you in that city for such a time as this right now. He chose you, he called you, he's equipped you, and he's beginning to greatly mature you. I see you on like a fast track where God is maturing this body to be an example for the Church of Canada, to be a lighthouse church that people can look to and say, that is a kingdom expression. I even see people coming to you guys saying, hey, write manuals, write books on this. Begin to show us how you've built and how you've structured this so that we can replicate it. And it's not necessarily so much a new strategy, it's really getting back to an ancient one and saying, we just took the mandate that Jesus left us with, and we've started to embrace his apostles, his prophets, his pastors, his teachers, and his evangelists, and see them restored into the church. So, Father, I thank you for Kingdom Culture. I thank you for, Lord, the Gaby family. I thank you, Lord, for all of their leaders. I thank you, Lord, for what you've called them to. I thank you, Lord, that you are using them tremendously in the nation of Canada. And they're a ministry and a body that people look to say, teach us, train us, grow us, help us, equip us. And, Father, I pray that every leader that's in this congregation, you begin to anoint and begin to pour your Spirit out on in such a greater measure. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this body. We thank you for this community and what's to come in the days ahead. I just say over you guys from Edmonton, Alberta, we bless you, we love you, we honor you. Pray for us, we're praying for you. Have a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. God bless you, and we love you. God bless.